Who do we follow? What are our choices? Well, we got some choices here this morning. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're looking to see, maybe a person could choose to follow themselves. I mean, you know, we have a very good education today, according to the educators. And there's Bible colleges, there's colleges, there's all sorts of things to be doing. So let's look at a person out there in this world, and let's see if they chose to follow themselves. We're still going to look to the Scriptures for our wisdom and our authority and our conclusions. So, you know, people that don't want to even follow the Bible, they could care less what this has to say. But this is what God would say to us if you choose to follow yourself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it really shows that it wouldn't be a wise idea for you to turn to yourself for your wisdom and things. And there's a lot of verses, but just a couple this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ. So somebody who's lost, as they would not even accept that phrase, they're just who they are. Well, they're without Christ. They're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. They have no hope, and they're without God. That's somebody. Why would you want to follow somebody like that? But they do. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, it says that their understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God through ignorance of that is in them, having because of the blindness of their heart. Okay, so we got these people that are without God, their heart is blind. They're not. That's not the kind of person anybody would want to follow, I would think. We can kind of carry that over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where this person also has their mind blinded. But now how about following the God of this world? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, there's somebody to follow to keep you from even finding the light. So that would be a joyful person to follow, right? 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, the devil's behind all these lost people, whether it be yourself as a lost person, or a minister, a preacher, a pastor, anybody out there who's not teaching the truth, just without Christ, without God, having no hope, following their righteousness, following their own works, where it says, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to try to get to heaven on their own. Is that who you'd want to follow? That seems to be who a lot of people are willing to follow. They think that one good work covers over 10 bad ones or something. You know, God will remember that one nice thing you did, and you forget about all those other things that you've done that weren't right. You didn't know any better. Your heart was blinded. Your mind was blinded. No, you'll be judged according to your works, just like these preacher guys, minister guys. So that's not a good choice. The God of this world, Antichrist, another Jesus, as Paul puts it, but. Yeah, we can't use Paul because, see, these people aren't wanting to follow Paul. So we're just talking about these things. How about Romans chapter 11? How about us following a Jew? I know a lot of people are very impressed with the works of the Jews, the Jewish lifestyle, the Jews. There's a lot of people that have converted over to Jewishness. There's a lot of Jews that have come over to America and changed their names and become very funny people rich people or very wise, very powerful people, the Jewish people are in this world. And if you get into studying some of that stuff, the world has been created very powerful by a Jew. So maybe we should just follow somebody who's got their Jewish traditions and they're God's chosen people. Why not follow a Jew? They seem to have this inside thing with God. You know, they put their little beanies on, they pray very well, and very modest. A lot of the standards that are so-called biblical standards are very clean. And you look at these Jewish children, and they will fight to the death for their belief. Very strong people. Very good people. They believe in God, and they really want to serve Him, and they follow the law. They try very hard to follow the law. Probably very good, sincere people. And again, probably one of the biggest issues is that they're very modest, but then there are a lot of modern Jews and there are a lot of people out there that don't follow those things anymore. But other than those things, they're good people to follow. I guess you could. Romans chapter 11, kind of tells us whether we should be following Jews or not. For I would not, brethren, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. So why would you want to follow a Jew? The Jewish teachings are all biblical as such, but they're missing something. They're blind to the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ. And to the new, the whole thing about that. Well, but they're such good people. Why not follow some really good people here? Romans chapter 2. Look at Romans chapter 2. Maybe some of these Jewish people would be worth looking into here. It says here, Romans chapter 2, verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Well, how about chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians? So the Jewish people want to follow the law, and you're very law-oriented and really want to do everything right, and you've been brought up as a child to do things right, or maybe part of your change of your life is to get into the law. Like, it's got to be good, kind of a thing. It's God's law. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So this is a little intro from Paul. But it says right here, not as Moses. So, Paul comparing himself to Moses' way, and here's what they would have to have if they were going to do the Jewish following. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished. And it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So, if you're going to follow a Jew, you're going to follow one he's blinded to. It might be Jewish teachings, it might be Old Testament teachings, it might be God's law's teachings, and we know that God's law would be perfect. So if you could follow that perfectly and follow a Jew as your encouragement, then but it looks to me like that wouldn't be a good idea because they're blinded too. We're even warned about giving heed to Jewish fables. In Titus, but again, that's Paul talking, so if you don't want to look to Paul, then maybe we'll skip that verse right there, but... And speaking of Jewish teachings, why don't we look at Matthew 28? Maybe you'd like to follow Jewish teachings that Jesus taught to the Jews. So let's be that Jesus, what do they call those Jews? Jews for Jesus type of a crowd there. Maybe you're looking at the Jewish way and the way that they are. You want to follow some Jewish teachings and you get into what Jesus, after all, this is God manifest in the flesh. We know that. Oh, well, we don't know that because Paul's one that tells us that. So we're not going to go there, I suppose, but well, in fact, it says right in Matthew 28 that what if you want to follow the Jewish teachings that Jesus taught, it says right here to do so, it's a command to do so. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Okay, there you go. Look at Mark chapter 16. We know that these are the two major verses that tell people that you want to follow Jesus' teachings. Oh, to the Jew. So do you want to follow the Old Testament Jewish way or do you want to follow the New Testament Jewish way? Take your pick. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, there you go. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Well, if that's what you so choose to follow, make sure you follow all of what it says. If you want to follow what Jesus taught in the Gospels, then you ought to be able to. In fact, there's even some scriptures to show that people did. To handle snakes, drink poison, they should be able to do that. Matter of fact, if you'd like, if you'd search deep enough into the South, you can find a bunch of churches that teach these things. So it's not that there wouldn't be a church to follow. I don't think you'd find them up in the Northwest, where the snakes are hibernating right now. For us down here in the Midwest, which is a good place for them. I haven't seen too many danger rattlesnake signs around that I'm not looking forward to these little critters coming out of the ground. But I'm not going to claim that kind of teaching. I'll shoot them if I have to, I guess. So, I guess you could follow the Jewish way, Old Testament way and the New Testament way. Take your pick. Is that what God would have us to do? Well, we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we do look into these things a little bit here, and we see that it is mentioned that there is another Jesus. Another Jesus. Well, yeah, Paul's pretty concerned about somebody following another Jesus. So I guess maybe you want to be looking for that one. Maybe you don't like the teachings that the real Jesus taught in the Gospels. It's a little bit too strict for you. The Old Testament Jewish are probably way too strict for you. They're very legalistic type stuff. But this other Jesus, I don't know what he's talking about. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, so it can't be anything out of Paul. You can't go to Paul for any teachings because Paul doesn't preach this another Jesus. He preaches the real one, the risen one. So maybe if you just stay away from Paul's books, maybe you have a pretty good relationship with this another Jesus. As it says here, another spirit and another gospel. So, you know, Paul's afraid of that, but maybe because you don't like Paul, some people out there that don't like Paul's teachings, maybe they'd like to follow this Jesus, whoever this Jesus must be. And you stay away from Paul, you'll probably know who he is. Probably a pretty good guy, but he's another one. He's not the right one. There's only one. Well, let's look just for a minute here. As we're looking at what to follow, we've gone to the Scriptures for a few minutes here, and we've kind of looked at that. Well, what are we looking at for what Bible do we follow? Let's look at Luke chapter 8, of all places, Luke chapter 8. Let's see what the devil thinks about the Word of God. Because what we want is a Bible that's the Word of God. We don't want a Bible that just contains some of the Word of God. We'd have to go to school and learn what is and what isn't what God said and what word is the best word today to use and study all these things. And you'd have to study this Greek language and try to figure out which Greek they were using, all sorts of different definitions. And, well, that'd be a challenge. So we want to make sure that what we have is something that the devil hasn't blinded. We look at that Luke chapter 8, and we see this. Jesus, even back in those days, had a parable about his word. He says, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, that then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So if the devil can keep this word of God, this true, real seed, away from somebody, then they're not going to believe and be saved. They can't. That's pretty powerful stuff. So we really want to make sure that we have the right Bible to follow, because then we would know if we should follow the Old Testament teachings of the Jews or the New Testament Jew teachings or follow ourselves. Maybe our wisdom, we have a lot of education, but maybe this Word of God would tell us how to do this sort of a thing. He says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy and these have no root. How do you get roots into rocks? Real hard heart. For which a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. You ever met those kind of church folks or Christians? They get excited at first, and then all of a sudden they find out some things they should do and whatever they're following, and they quit. They give up. There's no root. Some little storm comes in, a little temptation, and boom, they're gone. So, you know, we wouldn't want that to take place. Then the devil also says here, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So, we certainly wouldn't want to have that happen. We certainly wouldn't want to have our day-to-day life affairs and these riches and the affairs of this world and the pleasures of this life, kind of shut down this Word of God, this seed that gets planted. We'd want to make sure that we have the real Word of God. How about if we take those verses, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:10. You know, there talks about something that is perfect. Paul said it's going to come someday. When it does, all this other stuff just gets set aside, and everything will come out of that thing which is perfect. And I have no doubt about it that has to be the Word of God, the King James Bible. Because see, if it's not the King James Bible, then the Pentecostals are right. And if you want to go out there and follow Jesus' teachings and the Great Commission, as they call it, or find some Jewish fables to follow, and take your pick about this and that, modesty or not modesty, or whatever you want to do here. Or working or not working, all those kind of things that you tend to believe in modern Christianity today, well, there's churches all over this country that would be happy to have you join them. You want to follow whatever Bible you want. You want to follow another Jesus. You want to just whatever it says there. Because see, in 1 Corinthians 13, 8, 9, and 8 and 9, those things will still exist. That knowledge that God's going to give us just out of the blue because He wants us to know something, to preach something. Speaking in tongues, a way to communicate back and forth with God, as they would say. The Spirit, being led by the Spirit and proving your salvation because you can do that sort of a little trick thing there. And prophesying and to know what to preach. You know what's going on. And if somebody's been through enough schooling and education, then they know more than you do, so then you can learn to follow them and take the pressure off of you. Let your pastor, whoever he or she may be the one that leads you through all these teachings. That's a marvelous thought here. But we know, we all know this, you wouldn't be listening to this thing this morning if that was where you were at. We know that we're to follow Paul. We know that. It's a fact. King James Bible, following Paul, rightly dividing. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, Paul says. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's the risen Jesus. Well, there's a bunch of verses. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. In other words, don't follow the example of somebody who's not following Paul. But they're nice people. They're educated. They got wisdom. They got success. Yeah, but if it's not, if they don't look to Paul, and they can believe Paul, but are they doing what Paul says at all? See, they're still not the example. They may know the right thing, but they're not showing you the example. He talks about followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. He says, for yourselves know how you have to follow us. That's Paul and his crowd there, his teachings. For we've behaved not ourselves disorderly. Are you following somebody who's disorderly? Well, they may not be, you know, disorderly like little kids running in a church or whatever, but they're disorderly because they're not following Paul. So what are you doing hanging around them? What are you doing following them or looking to them for an example? Oh, I wish I could dress like them. I wish I could be like them. I wish I had the life that they have. Why? They don't have Paul. They don't understand the risen Savior's teachings. If they've got the real Savior, it's questionable if they really do, if they say they do. And that takes us back to following somebody who's lost and without God. Or somebody probably trying to follow some Jewish teachings, some Jewish fables from the New Testament Jew. It's still a disaster. Paul says they make themselves an example, an ensample unto us for us to follow them. So we can follow Paul. We're told to. We understand that. So he says, flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Did you hear that little string attached at the end of that thing? Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Who's playing the game? Who's following what they want to follow? Where's their heart? Is it to follow Paul's teachings? They just go to a church that sort of kind of teaches Paul and you follow them? Are they the ones for you to hang around? It says, with them, this verse, I've noticed, I might do a sermon sometime on the strings that Paul attaches to some of his teachings. So anyway, I guess we could stop there, but we're not this morning. You got your choice, following a lost person, following yourself, following another Jesus, which we know is the Antichrist, and follow the God of this world. We could follow the disciples in Gospels, the Jewish teachings, as they went out and presented the teachings of Jesus to the Jews, the risen, you know, a saved Jew as such, born again as a nation, whatever, which never did take place. We could argue about the different Bibles, and we realize that following a King James Bible is the only Word of God. It's the only 100% inspired and preserved, and I believe inspired even in its King James form to those guys. Not because those guys were holy as such, but that's the way God operated. He talks about that. 1 Corinthians 13:10, it's come, it's perfect. We don't have all the knowledge, but it's in that Bible. And we know that we're supposed to follow Paul. So this has all been reviewed for most of you. It's probably boring for some of you. I hope some of you aren't asleep yet. But see, there's another person here that more and more people are choosing to follow. And the only way that you can follow this person is you've got to have had Paul as your leader. You've had to heard about Paul. You've had to turn to Paul's teachings. You've had to make an attempt. You've had to try to do what it is that Paul has taught. And for some reason, You choose not to do that anymore. You just don't want to do the things that Paul teaches. And who's your leader in that clan? Well, your leader would be Demas. We've talked about him a couple times here lately. And there is a teaching going around, and I've even said at one time that, you know, it looks to me like Demas was a Paul follower, and then Paul forsook, or Demas forsook Paul. But then it looks like in Philemon that Demas went back to Paul. But if you look at this thing, that's not true. I notice that's not true. Colossians, for example, Colossians 4:14 tells us that Demas was part of Paul's crowd because he greets people. So he's with Paul. And we see in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24, that Demas is mentioned as one of Paul's fellow laborers. So those are two verses right there. Colossians 4:14 and Philemon 1:24 talks about the fact that Demas was with Paul. So notice, in order to follow Demas, you've got to be with Paul at first. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says Demas has forsaken him. Has forsaken the Savior? No, he forsook Paul. Demas wasn't with Paul anymore. And who knows what it was, but he loved this present world, we know that. And he took off, left Paul, left him alone, forsook Paul. So it's really good that you can't lose your salvation, because if you forsake Paul, then you forsake Christ and you lose your salvation. But we know that that doesn't take place. But still, here's a guy that was with Paul, fellow laborer, and then walked away from him. Is that who you'd like to follow? Now, the reason I say that that's not the order, the way it is, because see, 2 Timothy was written after Philemon. Philemon was written when Paul was in prison, one of the four prison epistles. So it doesn't show that Demas went back to Paul at all. It looks like when you leave Paul, Demas, he's gone. We can't use that as an example. Well, he went out there and played in the world for a little while and kind of showed off their body a little bit and got loud again back in the restaurants and joined all their happy people and this kind of a thing, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And then they got tired of that. Then they went back to Paul's teaching, which could be done. I don't see many people that have left Paul's preachings. I don't know of any, in fact, right now, that have come back. I may have a clouded mind this morning, but I know a lot of people that have left Paul's teachings that claimed that they had them. I know a lot of people, matter of fact. And I notice some people are starting to head that way. And I wonder how many people who are fighting the battles right now won't someday end up following Demas. Not me. How do you know that? You got a lot of pride in following Paul? You know, you could trip just like anybody else. Anybody can. I can. Don't you get tired of this stuff after a while? You kind of get worn down? Well, let's just kind of look at some things here as far as being a Demas follower. I'll probably give you today and tonight, I hope you can come back tonight, some ideas about what it would take to follow Demas. Well, why do you want to say stuff like that? Why do you want to take that sarcastic route? And, well, I don't mean it to be a sarcastic route. I just know, and I'm not speaking of anybody in particular here this morning. People deny me in saying that. But, no, I just know a lot of people that are backing off from this Paul stuff, as they say. Is it because they got tired of it? Is it because their pastor changed and their pastor is teaching them something different? Is it because you're so busy now? Are you back in a situation where you don't have any freedom to follow Paul? Well, what do they do in these foreign countries, in these communistic countries where they don't even have permission to have a Bible or such, and they find out about following Paul? Pretty tough, wouldn't it be? Well, let's not worry about that. We still have the freedoms to do so. Unless you're within your own home and you can't do that sort of a thing. Or you go visit somebody as a family activity and then you can't be who you need to be. Because you know if you do, you're going to take some hits. Are you really going to be a Paul follower 24/7? Are you going to try? Now remember, Paul's teachings are not legalistic teachings. It's not like here's the list of Great Commission teachings and here's the list of Paul's teachings. So let's throw out the Great Commission teachings and let's just go to Paul's teachings. We don't want to do that. I mean, there's something that comes with Paul's teachings that wasn't there with Jesus' teachings. Well, there's grace. There's mercy. There's long-suffering. There's a joy. There's a peace. And the people don't have that are trying to follow Jesus' teachings. Because, see, if they don't get those things confessed that they messed up, they're in trouble. And they got this constant fear of God chastising them and burning on them. Some of them even fear they can lose their salvation over these things. What kind of a joy and peace is that? We've got this joy and peace that we're supposed to be able to have by following Paul. Learning to walk properly. When we fall down, do we have to worry about a chastisement? Do we have to worry about a spanking? Do we have to worry about... No, we don't. But see, because we can look at those things that we should do that pleases God, and it's the right thing to do for a testimony, etc., etc., and when we come to realize that, you know, if we fall on these things, God will just pick us back up again, and nothing will happen. So see, if that's the case, we learn these things about Paul's teachings, about the risen Savior, and we learn something as radical as this, that all things are lawful unto me. See, if we learn that, then, oh, wait a minute here. Why am I doing these things? It causes me persecution. It's embarrassing. It's hot. I shouldn't be doing things as a woman that I've been taught to do. I shouldn't be doing things as a man that I've been taught to do that are womanly things. But, you know, all this hassles of fighting these things, I'm tired of those things. So from what I realize, if I want to follow Paul's teachings, not Paul, but just what Paul taught me, then I can do anything I want. All things are lawful. Boy, and your mind starts thinking, here's a couple of verses that will encourage you to look to Paul, look to Demas. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Did you know that? Adriana, who's out there, young person, do you know that now as an adult, if you're truly saved with Paul, you can actually do anything you want? Really? God's not going to get you for it. Your dad might. Maybe not. Because, see, where there's no law, there's no transgression. It's not really wrong. It says here in Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So if there's no law, there's no sin being imputed to you. Well, that's a nice teaching. I could go along with that one. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Christ took care of that law. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, those verses that I read, you got to make sure you read the whole verses. And the verses following. Because there's some little, again, strings attached to those things. But let's forget about those strings. Let's look to see what it would be to learn some of Paul's teachings and then bag it, knowing what the risen Savior has taught to you. See, the sermon originally started off as a thought of Demas followers ought to really be thankful to the Lord. More than anybody else. Because somebody's trying to follow Paul, see, their life's going to be a challenge. It's going to be hard. It's not easy to follow Paul. It's not easy to follow Paul. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but they have to edify. All things are lawful, but you can't let them have a power over you. All things are lawful, to say you're not supposed to cause someone else to stumble. All things are lawful, but it's probably just something for the flesh. And then Paul gives us all sorts of things that we ought to do and ought not to do. And whatever you do not do amongst those who are doing is going to give you some persecution from your family, from your parents, from your sisters, from your brothers, from your relatives, from your neighbors, from your church friends, your church people, your workplace. Staying home is going to cause you financial difficulty for your family if you're a woman. And you stay home with your children. Get to that in a few minutes. So you just can't quite handle Paul. You understand rightly dividing. You realize that Paul's a man to follow. And he taught you some great things. But let's stay away from that walk stuff. Especially Timothy and Titus. Oh, wow. There's some tough stuff in there. Well, see, you realize that you can do anything you want now because you're not going to get chastised by God. You'll learn that you won't lose your salvation. And you're tired of losing friends. So if you follow Demas, you'll quit losing friends. Well, you lose some of the friends you developed by following Paul, but maybe you haven't got any. Maybe you're lonesome. Maybe you're tired of being alone. Maybe you're tired of your little cave. Maybe you're tired of having nobody to go places with. Life is but a vapor, but while we're down here, it sure can be pretty dull and lonesome, can't it? I understand the lonesome thing, though. It's tough. You know what? If you go to Demas, you might get some of your former friends back. Wouldn't that be nice? There's some nice people. I remember those people. They were pretty fun. And well, they don't follow Christ at all. They don't follow Paul. They're not Christians. But, you know, there are still some nice people. Because, see, now you don't have to worry about your friends anymore because you're not going to follow Paul. You're going to follow Demas. And Demas loved this present world. So he's going to go out to this present world with what he knows from Paul. Probably have a great time. Kind of like a Baptist joining the Mormon church. This Baptist says he knows he's saved, but the Mormons take better care of you than the Baptists will, so they go join the Mormon church. Baptists are the number one convert to the Mormon church. So that's kind of a weird thought, huh? You know, if you want to get back into, you want to start following Demas, you know, you ladies, you go and get a job. You can make some more money. Yeah, you might be able to have your own spending money instead of having to ask your husband or parent or something for it. Wouldn't that be something? There's no payback. God's not going to make you, he's going to pay you back. He's not going to hit you back or anything later on. No vengeance from God. Don't have to worry about getting sick. If you got sick, it's because you went over to some church or some nursery or went over to somebody's house and they gave you the sickness. It's not God's fault. He's not making you sick. You're going to get no opposition from God to go to Demas. God's not going to stop you. Matter of fact, more and more pastors aren't going to stop either. Matter of fact, more and more pastors are going to help you learn the way of Demas. Because, see, these pastor guys, they don't dare preach Paul because you can't build a church on Paul. You can't even fix a church with Paul. People just can't take the truth, cannot endure sound doctrine. And if we're heading as close to the tribulation as I believe we are, our flesh has to be pumped. Our flesh has to be felt good. Our flesh has to feel like it's doing right. Our flesh has to be involved in worship. Our flesh has to know how to use music to worship God and enjoy it ourselves. And we're headed into a direction that if you bring up Paul and that sound doctrine, boy, you're going to really have some serious opposition. From somebody as close as possible to you and somebody who's just out there in the normal street world. And you're going to have fewer friends and fewer family people, they're going to quit trying to trip you up. Jeremiah calls it halting. Don't you get tired of people that you love, that you say you love and you care for, and they're always bashing you, tripping you up, and treating you crummy? Well, that's what happens when you're a Christian. But still, you get tired of that. You know, everybody's dressed crummy, and you show up and you're all dressed properly. Or you don't want to go someplace they all want to go to. And you can go because you've got God's grace. We know that sort of a thing. It's kind of a tough line of do I not do this? Well, what, you going to please your flesh or is it going to please God? Are you maintaining your testimony by going with them or do you maintain your testimony by not going there? Oh, I'm so tired of those kind of thoughts. It's such a difficult thing to try to follow Paul in this perverse and crooked world. In this world where people think they're Christians and they act like Christians. You know, godliness without the power thereof, that crowd, you know. I just get tired of that stuff. I think I'll just jump in. And it's just their definition of modesty. It's just his definition of modesty anyway. Well, what do you show here? Do you stop here, 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 here? Where do you go? Well, how loud is loud? It's like everybody asks the question, well, how long is long when it comes to hair for a guy? And how short is short when it comes to hair for a lady? Does it even matter? Pants, tight, loose, baggy? You know, dress, short dress, bakery dress, as I call them, because it emphasizes the buns in the oven and all that stuff. Top, covered, but tight. Loud, what's loud? How do you define loud? Work. What's work? Is it out of the home? Is it in the home? I mean, you know, you can go through these questions and you can just finally say, no, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to follow. I'm not even following Demas. I'm just going to go back into this world. I love this present world. The high tech stuff is so cool. And You know, I read the other day where there's, I think it was 18 or 80, I forget the number now, I think it's 80, hospitals that are putting the chip in humans. Medical chips, of course. It's a medical chip. It's okay, because it makes sense, you know. And I suppose it would be kind of nice if you could just kind of run that spot over a charger thing at a supermarket and have to go through the checkpoint. It's not the Antichrist or anything like that, but, you know, it just kind of makes sense. It's a good thing to have. Oh, is it? Really? Well, sure. We're not in the Laodicean church age. Some people say we are in the Laodicean churches. We're not in the Philadelphian churches. Some people say we are. Some people say the churches mean nothing. Well, okay, whatever. I understand that. There are some things in the church age thing in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that I don't understand either. I don't understand either. Because there's an awful lot of things in there that make sense too. So, let me give you some help if you're looking to want to follow Demas. Then we'll kind of look at some of the scriptures tonight a little bit more about it. If you want to follow Demas, well, I'll tell you what, you'll probably feel better. Go ahead, be a brawler. Be a brawler. Get into these brawls. Probably make you feel good. Speak evil of people. Now, we got to remember that when we speak evil of people, we got to speak evil of what's going on with some people because they're bad examples. You don't want to get caught up in that sort of thing. Sure, that's true. But just to speak evil of people, just to speak evil, period, what comes out of your mouth? I really believe that as we spew out of our mouth some of the venom and some of the anger and hatred that we can do, it actually causes us in the backside to get fierced up and tense and a little dirtied. I recognize that. That's a dangerous thing. But, hey, if you're going to go into Demas, go ahead, let her rip. Don't worry about what comes out of your mouth. Don't worry about the damage it can cause. Because, see, Paul tells us to speak with grace out of our mouth. So if we want to keep doing that, you'll probably feel a whole lot better chewing somebody out. Be tough again. Get back to being tough. Well, yeah, Paul doesn't want people to take advantage of us. And there's wisdom involved here that we ought to be able to tell somebody, listen, you're using me. And I don't like to be used. But, see, if you go back to Demas' way, You can just toughen up and you can do that kind of thing. You can get back into that stuff. You know, if you want to follow Demas' way of getting back into this present world, you can get back into arguments. Arguments over foolish questions, it says there. You know how to beat them down. You know, you might even be right. It might be kind of fun to get into some foolish questions and show them how smart you are. And you know what? There's some heretics out there that are really some nice people. What they believe is heretical. It's terrible. But they're nice people. Successful. Doesn't matter that they're subverted and sinneth because they're not saved. Doesn't matter that they're condemned of themselves. They're just nice people. Who wants to hang around somebody who's not a nice people? They can't possibly drag your kids down, or they can't possibly affect their belief onto you because you don't believe that way. You believe in Paul's teachings. You don't do them, but you do claim the ones about all things are lawful, so you believe that one. But the rest of that stuff, follow righteousness, and no, we don't want to do that. Some of those heretics are some pretty good people. How about you older ladies? Don't you get tired of somebody telling you that, you know, you need to be an example to the younger women today? I've noticed in so many places that most of the older ladies aren't any better example than any lost person. They've never been taught this stuff. So you can quit feeling guilty about not teaching anything good to the younger ladies by example. You know, things like how to love your husband, how to be sober, serious, how to love your children. You can be close again with people, your children and things that are this way, and not have to be so argumentative and be accused of being so judgmental. You know, older ladies, you don't have to be that example anymore, it says there, as become with holiness. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Go ahead. Have a few drinks even. Social drinking, whatever. Don't worry about teaching them good things. Times have changed anyway. You know that. I mean, the good things today are different than when you were younger. So go ahead. Do the new stuff. Teach them what the new stuff is. And being discreet? Yeah, get rid of that stuff. Chaste? No, come on. Keepers at home? Nah, we need the money. You probably get a better job than your husband can anyway. So encourage those younger ladies to get those careers going. It's a woman's world today. Be obedient to their husbands? Come on, where do you get that from? And you know, don't worry about the fact that doing these things or teaching these younger women that doing those things actually blasphemes the Word of God. Because, see, today we're living in a dispensation of grace, so there's no way we can blaspheme the Word of God. Even though the Word of God says that you get ladies to do those things, that's blaspheming the Word of God. you fathers, does it matter to you? I mean, if you want to go ahead and go the way of Demas, go ahead and teach your daughters these things. Don't worry about being discreet. Don't worry about chaste. And they don't have to stay home. They need a job. They need money. You're not going to support them. Obedient to their husbands? Come on. You teach them that sort of a thing and they won't even find one. Don't worry that blaspheming the Word of God. Man, a father teaching his daughter to do stuff that blasphemes the Word of God, does that bother any fathers out there? The whole concept bothers me. That's probably the one thing that's made me be so mouthy about this whole issue for older women and younger women. That's how you ladies blaspheme the Word of God. I don't know why that isn't a bell ringer. I guess the clangers are missing in most people today. Age of grace. Yeah, but you can still blaspheme the Word of God. God's not going to get you for it. It'll come out in the judgment seat. We know all that sort of a stuff. But yet it's still blaspheme the Word of God. Does that bother anybody? Have you ever had the courage to say to somebody, whether it be your father or mother or sisters or relatives or brothers or boss or workers, I'm not going to do that because that's going to blaspheme the Word of God. You're a King James Bible believer. You're rightly dividing. And yet you'll blaspheme that very book by doing those things? Well, we live in the age of grace. That's true, we do. Some people are forced into situations. They have to do these things. How forced are we? Some people are. Some people aren't quite forced. The pressure's there. But nobody's going to make you. You just have to live accordingly. That's tough. But that's blaspheming the Word of God. Demas, follower women, do you realize that you're blaspheming the Word of God with the lifestyle that you've chosen to live now? That's pretty hard. Let's get back to Demas. Okay. How about the young women? Well, okay, you can keep ignoring all those things that you're supposed to be taught by the older women. They don't have an example for you, so I guess you have an excuse. No, excuse me, but your preacher just told you that that's what the Bible says. You just read in your King James Bible that you claim to follow that if you do those things, you're blaspheming that very Word of God. Is that okay with you? That's a tough one. Is that not a tough one? Amen, 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 amen. That's one of the modern ladies there. And how about us older men? We can quit this boring, sober lifestyle of being serious about life. You know, when he talks about, this is all Titus stuff, you know, Titus chapter. Go ahead. You know, the older guys from the generation that should know better with the ponytails, earrings, the ponytail's white and gray, and there's a bald spot right here, you know, and they got these earrings. These are old people. That knows, they should know better than that. Shorts. Come on. You just don't put on shorts when you're 900 years old. And the stuff they wear to the beach anymore. It's like, it's so far beyond any kind of a modesty definition that it's actually gross. Why would, you know, it's okay. That's Demas' way. We got grace. Go ahead. Forget about being temperate. Forget about being sound in your faith. Let your wife handle everything. She'll do a better job anyway. You got to get out there and make all that money so you can buy that four-wheeler and do all the repairs around your house that she wants and or that you want and keep everybody busy because we know that we don't want to just not have any, we don't know what to do in our homes anymore except just work or turn on the TV and just watch stuff, get a nice big one. You know, how about young men? Young men, party hardy. Have a good time. Forget about any pattern of good works you're supposed to show. Uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Come on, it says in Ecclesiastes that your childhood and youth is vanity anyway, so what's the point? I'm not going to be held accountable. Some preacher told me this in Washington. I'm probably not going to be accountable until I'm not 20 years old anyway. I don't remember somebody saying that exactly, but it's a possibility. So if that's the case, party hardy. Go get to Demas. Forget about this, Paul. By the way, don't forget to remember, Paul does teach grace and mercy. So it's, all things are lawful. So let's accept that from Paul. Let's reject the rest of Paul, and let's go into the way of Demas and love in this present world. Let's keep going here. You servants, you workers at the workplace, men, of course, it ought to be, go on strike. Go ahead. God will bless your greediness. I know, but my boss is so crummy. He's ruthless. He's making all this money, and they're very selfish and greedy themselves. Yeah, but that's the way that a man can blaspheme God and his doctrine. It's not to just obey your boss. It's that simple. Why would that be a man? Because that's the man's curse. Do we understand that? The curse of the man is to work. The curse of the woman is to have painful childbirth and be in submission to her husband. So her husband makes her go off to work. That's not the husband you want. He's going to make you blaspheme the word of God. That's grounds to take a hike. Look to Paul. Oh, wait a minute. We're not going to follow Paul. Go get a job then. That's the man's curse is to work. So his curse, and so if he disobeys his boss and fights his boss, that's how he blasphemes the word of God. How does a woman blaspheme the word of God? By having children? No. By taking care of the children? No. By staying home? No. That's her design. She blasphemes the word of God by going out there and getting that job. Tossing those kids to a daycare somewhere. Let somebody else take care of them. Get out of the house. Go to somebody else. Now, do you know nowadays we have the means of being out of our house and still be in our house? You know what I mean? That verse in Timothy about being busybodies, that's Facebook. Here we go. That's Twitter. That's MySpace.com. That's telephone. That's emails. You can talk about people all day long. Somebody comes and confides in you, and you go tell somebody else. You know what that is? I'm sorry. That's busybody. That's not right. It's hard, isn't it? The things that I hear help me understand what's going on out there, and I'm really disheartened by so many things that why not just go the way of Demas? Everybody else is. They seem to be happier. Churches are growing. Demas is the leader. Stick with Paul. You won't have a church to go to. You'll be stuck home at your cave. Won't have any friends. I understand this. We're in a town ourselves. We have no fellowship. I have a professional relationship with people at work. I do my best not to talk to them. But unless I go the way of Demas, I can have a great time here. No, did I say that right? I don't think I said that right. I'll have a good time here if I go the way of Demas. I do the right thing as a Paul follower. It's going to get tough with music. You know that. How about this? Are you tired of suffering reproach? Got a few minutes here. Tired of suffering reproach? Then back off from this living God concept. And people say, well, where's this living God in my life anyway? What do you mean, where's this living God? What do you expect him to do? Paint your house for you? Well, you expect him to get you the house, don't you? The living God is right here in this living Bible. You've probably never experienced reading your Bible and have God teach you something that's changed your life and helped you realize that God is alive. The risen Savior is risen. You can only get that from a Bible. King James Bible. Go ahead, ladies. Put some more air behind that mouth again. You've got plenty to say anyway because your husband doesn't say anything. Well, maybe your husband doesn't say anything because he knows it's not worth saying. This world is so feministically designed that the way of man right doesn't even fit in anyway. The design of the stores are for the women to go shopping. A man wouldn't design the store that way. Another thing. What about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? What are they? Who says? That's just your opinion. Go ahead, ladies. Dress like the world again anyway. That's all you can buy anymore. Doesn't matter that it's going to show off anything. I guess you got to just let them make you do it. No, you don't have to make it. Let it. You just got to figure out what you got to do. You make it work. You can cover that thing up. It's just not going to be as easy. You can buy little machines that do that stuff for you, but that's out of touch. That's kind of old-fashioned stuff. Besides, you know this whole thing about dresses and pants and all that? That's just an American cultural argument anyway. Now the culture today is men and women can wear the same clothes. Well, men don't wear women's clothes, but women have come around to eat wearing men's clothes. You still won't find a man in the dress unless he's some kind of a pervert. That still isn't all that accepted. If I went to school Monday in a dress, that wouldn't go over well. But you ought to see how those ladies dress, like sloppy men. But that's okay. See? I think, personally, I would preach that to a woman should look like a mature Christian woman all the time. Casual, church, whatever. She'll always be that way. That's a Christian. You're a Christian. You're different than this world. If you got to go out of your way to dress differently than this world is dressing and want to make sure you're covered up, then he'll do it automatically, then that's what you should do. That's your testimony, ladies. Your testimony is not how good you are at work. It's how good you are at home. You men, our testimony is how strong we're in our leadership, our wisdom, the work that we have to do to provide. Shamefaced, what is that? Both women can't even spell it, let alone know what it is. Just for the record, I'll say what it is beyond modesty. You cover up more than needs to be covered. That's your testimony. If you're going to allow somebody else to make you knock down that testimony, then that's Demas. You stick with Paul taught, risen Savior taught. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if you're wet. I don't care where you're at. I mean, everybody else is that way. You probably shouldn't be there anyway. That activity you want to do, maybe you shouldn't do that activity if it's going to put you in that kind of a position. Boy, you're just no fun at all. I know. But that's what the Bible says. That's Paul. That's the risen Savior. Live for Him through Paul, and you won't do some of those things. If your flesh is going to want you to do it, you have the lawfulness to do that. But it's still not right. It's not going to edify. It's going to cause somebody to stumble. What if you're a couple little kids, and they see you doing that stuff, and you did the best you can to prepare yourself for it, then they can do that too. And they won't do it with the modesty involved that you are concerned about. You see why people are quitting Paul? Paul's tough. To please God is tough. That's why He gives us the grace He gives us, and we mess up. There's grace there. I'm not very good at grace. I want us to be able to do the right thing. I don't know. He says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. All he had to do is take out the word no, have company with him. He's a good guy. He's a good people, good lady. They're not following the Paul thing, but just take out the word no, have company with him. Go ahead. Get that job, ladies. You need the money for those things in life you want to have. Swimming pool, bigger house, nicer car, all the toys that you can have. Besides, you ladies have more wisdom than us men anyway today. You know, you've been taught that. Bodily exercise profiteth much. Did you know that? Didn't you know that? That's a mistake in the King James Bible. I've never seen such an emphasis on bodily exercise. Sacrifice your family. Lose a few pounds. The kids can do their own thing anyway. Go out there and get that weight down. It's kind of frustrating, kind of weird that once ladies get their weight down, they got the immodesty thing follows right after that because they want people to see how much work. Look at my body now. Look how much work I've gone through, and I'm back to being slim and sexy again. Where's that coming from? Well, that's Demas. I forget. That's the way of this present world. You'll have more friends. You can talk with more guys. It's kind of fun to be around a guy talking to him. Us guys are pretty good people. You tired of talking around ladies? Oh, I got a bunch of things here. I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that here. Dress like the world, again, it's just American culture. God doesn't care anyway. You like to be undressed in the eyes of other people. You notice the guy's eyes and everything? It's flattering for other people to know that you've lost weight. You get flattered over that thing. And something happens. It's just the weirdest thing. Something happens when people start losing weight. Guys, I'm sure, are the same way. They head for that beach or that little thing they wear. Well, some of them don't, but I think it's more of a woman thing. They like to get rid of some of that extra pounds because they've had children, all this kind of stuff, and they feel young and youthful again, and they go back to their teenage years, which, by the way, they were without God then, and the visual thing and the modesty and the shame. See why people don't want Paul anymore? They really don't want Paul. Paul's tough. Go back to Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus wasn't tough. He's got grace. Don't worry about it. Paul, he's tough. Call your neighbor, talk to them, and then tell somebody else all about what your neighbor told you. Get those jewels. Get those fancy body ornaments on you. Men, too. I mean, men are wearing stuff, too. Fix that hair. You know, people pay money to have their hair look messed up on purpose. And they want to have some of the hair colored different colors and other hair colored other different colors. Look like a rainbow. Why do you want to look like a rainbow on your head? Why do you want to go looking like you painted a bunch of buildings and you got a different colored paint in your hair? I don't understand the different color. I forget what they call that. The streaks in their hair. What is that called? Highlights. There we go. Highlights. Why do you want to highlight different portions of your hair? That's weird. It's like painting a finger blue and another finger red and another finger pink. Why don't we do finger? How about finger painting? When is somebody going to, here we go, when is somebody going to decide to paint their whole finger a different color? Weird stuff. So we got all these body ornaments, all these jewels and things attached, all sorts of places. Christians are doing that. And you get mad at your kid for doing it. Here we go, I'm just winging here. You get mad at your kid for tattoos? Didn't you have a little smiley clown paste on their cheek when they were little and cute? And now you're getting mad at them for doing it? See what we do when they're little? The damage we do with all this face painting stuff? We're so stupid. We teach our little kids stuff when they're little. Then when they get older, we tell them they can't do it. What kind of lousy parenting is that anyway? We teach them to watch these programs and watch TV all the time, and then when they get older, they get mad at them for watching TV all the time. You show them all the great computer games, and they get mad at them when they get a computer game that's a little rougher than yours. We're weird. We're stupid when it comes to parenting these days. I know so many things about little children. Say the Christian parents have taught their children the ways of Demas to the max, and yet when they grow up and they go the way of Demas, they get all upset. I understand why they went to Demas. I understand totally. Go ahead. Set your affection on the things of the earth. And then Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth. You saw him. You recognized him in Paul's writings. And now you're going the way of Demas. Why is that? That's why I started this thing off with Demas followers ought to be really thankful. Because they can do what they're doing. And God isn't going to get them for it. You want to follow Paul, the world's going to get you for it. But God will reward you later for it. You go to Demas, the world will accept you, but God will get you for it later at the judgment seat. Take your pick.